Liquor Talk, brand new episode starts right now. Welcome on, welcome everybody to another edition of the Liquor Talk podcast. I'm your man V Jones. I want to thank you all for tuning in and pouring up with me. Today's episode, you're gonna need the white liquor because that's what we on tonight, you know. So, but joining me again, she's a returning guest. You heard her during season 4. She's back again. She is the Enchantress. She's the host of Enchanted Soul Rail, Miss Enchantress. Welcome back to Look and Talk, and I thank you for coming back. Welcome back to Look and Talk. How you doing tonight?
Thank you so much for having me. I am doing fantastic. I am so glad to be back. I always love having a conversation with you, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I appreciate you. I love having you on. You know you're a real one when you done made 2 appearances on Look and Talk and other people's podcasts, so you're definitely a real one. So,
all right.
We got a little unfinished business to talk about because I pay attention to everybody's social media pages and stuff, and I saw you telling your story, and I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that, and it made me tell myself to shut the fuck up and just keep going, literally, because we all have those why me moments in life and stuff. We always have those why me moments, what's going on with me, why is this always happening to me, but when you told your story, I was like, whoa, my goodness. She went through all of that, and yet she's still pushing out, you know. So, I hate to start off the episode like this, but since you're comfortable talking about it now, why don't you tell the people about it? Like, because I was reading through your story, and I'm like, how did you get through that? And being wrongfully convicted of something, I'm like, I don't thought that happened to brothers, but I'm like, goddamn, sisters go through this shit too.
Absolutely. Thank you for even allowing me the opportunity, like a safe space to speak about this. It's crazy, believe it or not. I found out this is very common for women of color, especially to go through. Of course, not the other side. This is not something that they see as often, but because a lot of people don't take Black women are saying very seriously when it comes to abuse or anything. That kind of applies over in the judicial system as well, where when I was trying to report an abuse that was done towards me, I remember the group of police officers in the police station actually laughing at me, and I broke down crying because I'm like, why are they laughing? And I was like, this is serious. This is urgent. But they thought it was funny. They was like, oh, nobody, we got other stuff to be doing. You can put in something, but nothing is going to be done. Like, you can file something if you want to, but it's not really a high priority for us. So I seen then, but with how I was treated with negligence, that wow, these people really do not care. And then some women in the facility also made me aware that that's very common for women, period. They was one of the booking officers told me that she has seen women come in with black eyes and bloody noses and say they were actually abused, but because the man called the police, which is a form of also abuse, because he is using the judicial system to further like victimize this person, they take the person's side who called the police, even though the evidence is all on this person's face that somebody beat her up pretty badly. But it was, in their opinion, if you got beat up or if you were abused, why didn't you call the police? So they really do a lot of victim shaming. And that's what I went through. So in 2020, I had ended a relationship of almost 2 years. It was extremely toxic. It was a lot of like gaslighting going on, emotional abuse, damaging a lot of my things in my home, my items, my actual physical home. And then there was cheating going on. He was an alcoholic. I later found out that he was abusing drugs. And I just knew that I had to get out. And in my mind, I thought that I could just have a conversation about it and say, hey, this is not working, because this was someone who claimed that he loved me and wanted nothing but the best for me, even though his actions wasn't showing that. I just figured I could say, hey, this is hurting me, and he would realize that and not want to hurt me and end up not being just saying, you know what, I'm gonna respect her wishes and go about my business. Well, that wasn't the case. When I ended the relationship, he continuously came back and forth to my house as if we were still in a relationship. And when I asked him not to come back, he like spazzed out. Like I was literally like running from him. He ended up catching me, throwing me to the ground, was on top of me, twisting my wrist, like trying to get my keys from me because he had made a copy of my house keys. I ended up running out of the house once I was finally able to get him off the top of me. So I'm like scratching and carrying on and yelling for help. And that yelling ended up waking up my children. And I told them to hurry up, like, let's go. I drove away, called his mom, begging her to come get him out of my house, that he had just attacked me. And then I called my mom as well to let her know what happened. Well, while I was gone, he decided that the scratches that he got from me trying to get him off the top of me, was going to be all that he needed to service abuse evidence. So he contacted the police, told them that I thought he was cheating on me, which was impossible because I broke up with him already. And I just spazzed out on him out of nowhere and started, I physically attacked him and I fled the scene of the crime because I was scared I was going to go to jail. That was the story that he told. And because I wasn't there to give my side of the story, they ran with that and I was arrested. Now, I was, of course, devastated by that, like crushed, like why the hell would somebody do this? But I didn't think it was going to hold up in court because I knew it was a lie. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to show them all the evidence I have. I ended up putting a restraining order out on the person. I tried to live as much as a normal life as I possibly could. It took about 2.5 years before we went to court for it. But when we went to court, that the judge and the court officials just refused to look at any evidence. And then I had also tried to report the crime as well. That judge had said that we have in Atlanta Channel 2 Action News as well as Fox 5, but he told me that he believed what happened to me, but he didn't feel like it was Channel 2 Action News worthy. So he didn't. Yeah. It was an older white guy. I wish I could remember his name, but that was the judge in Gwinnett County, Georgia. He said he didn't feel comfortable sending him to jail because what happened to me was not Channel 2 Action Newsworthy.
Was this a black man that did this to you?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Georgia is the one state that they make their own laws. They just, the normal laws, you just don't. Georgia's not the state that you just don't fuck with. Only right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that was devastating. It also, like, made me lose hope in the justice system for, like, I cried myself to sleep that night because I was like, how could this man, he really put me in danger because this guy thinks he is invincible now. Like, he just heard the judge say that because he was there in court when the judge said it. So it's like, oh, nobody's on your side now. He could come back and finish me off. He had already threatened my life. So I felt like at that time, nobody can protect me. And no one was taking it as serious as I knew it was. I knew this man had threatened my life and said that he was going to kill me. So I wasn't going to rest well until I was like as far as away as possible. And something kept telling me to make a move to Houston. I had never been to Houston before I moved here. It was solely a jump out on faith. I just, every time I woke up in the morning, I kept hearing a voice saying, move to Houston, move to Houston. I knew no one here, never been here before. And it was like, okay, I'm going to pray on this because I don't know where this message is coming from. So I prayed on it. I spoke with my kids about it. I told them, I think this is the best thing for us safety wise. And I feel like there's something big in Houston for me. And this, it started to unravel that way. We did, because of the charge of me being convicted, we struggled a lot. I was living in hotels, Airbnbs, back and forth. Thankfully, in my career life, I'm doing really well. Like, I've worked my way up the corporate ladder pretty nicely. So financially, I was having the money, but it was like taking everything that I had because hotels are expensive. Like, imagine. Yes, they are. Yeah. So I have three kids and I'm hotel hopping and Airbnb hopping and dealing with price gouging. And when the holidays come, the inflation's in the cost and all of this stuff. And just like praying every time I have to book a new room that it's affordable during that time. So I can say I was definitely covered. It was some times that all I could do was afford to pay for the hotel. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how we're going to eat. And then somebody called me and say, hey, check your Cash App. I just Cash Apped you. Like, just random stuff kept happening to me like that. Every time I didn't think I was going to be able to survive, I kept getting random blessings sprinkled in here and there. And that really made me realize that me moving and jumping out on faith, like, I did the right thing, because I feel like God really covers you when you're moving in the direction that you're supposed to move. It was like literally the kids' school. I would never complain about anything. You wouldn't be able to see me and be like, oh, that girl is homeless. Like, so I still, you know, presented myself the way I presented myself, but I would have teachers, like, even Christmas, I had one of the school nurses, she gave me $100. She just was like, you're just such a beautiful person, and I wanted to give you a Christmas gift. And I'm like, oh, thank you. She was like, this is for me and my husband. And then I want to bring some gifts for the kids as well. And literally, like, bought Christmas gifts for me and my children.
That is amazing. Shout out to those people that randomly bless you like that, you know, mm-hmm. because it's like when you told your story, it kept me going, because it's like me with no kids sleeping in my car mm-hmm. and people not knowing this, because I really didn't tell nobody. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody that, yeah, I'm working two jobs and I'm sleeping in my car until this apartment come through, and apartment house up as well. So it's like, I couldn't imagine doing this mess with kids, you know. So
yeah,
I think that's what humbled me, was like, hey, she's out here doing it with kids, and you ain't got no kids. So it's mm-hmm. like, I couldn't imagine. So I just put my head down and go. So, but I'm glad you kept going and stuff. So at what point did you want to do a podcast? Because I know you said you've been podcasting for like, what, 2 years now or something like that?
Yeah, it's been like 2.5. I started Enchanted Soul Radio in November of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that, so with the podcast, that came along with, of course, the pandemic hit. I was actually doing like speaking engagements. I had picked up some traction on Facebook with just doing motivational videos. And so I started getting people reaching out to me, asking me if I could speak at a women's seminar or conference and things like that. And I'm like, yeah, yep, bet I can do that. And I actually had 4 bookings moving into, like, before the start of 2020, I was already booked for 4 big events for 2020. But then COVID came, and that basically put a screeching halt on all of those things. All those events were canceled because of it being in person. I was so like, I don't know, geared up and had all this momentum and excitement about speaking to people and touching people's lives that I didn't want to lose that. So I was like, okay, how can I still connect with people even with all of this mess going on? Because people are scared to even be in person now. So the podcast was the solution to that. Like, okay, this will allow me, this is one of those COVID-proof type of things, no matter what's going on, what pandemic we're going through, I'll still be able to connect with my audience and heal them through my voice and my story and share that with them. And then hopefully when the world opens back up, we can go to doing in-person too, but I also want to keep the podcast going.
That's real. That's real. That's amazing and stuff. So what made you decide that you were now was the right time to tell the people about your past and to tell the people about what had happened to you and stuff? What inspired you to finally come out and just tell everybody that? Because that's a lot of shit to deal with, you know?
It is. I can't even believe that I held that in the entire time, because from the start of the podcast, I was going through it already. So it really was, I'm not going to lie, because I felt safe enough to do it. I'm, you know, 13 hours away from Atlanta now. Of course I know some people are still crazy and will make a drive, but I don't have my addresses public records. I don't use my regular address. It's not known by anyone. My family don't even know my address. So yeah, it's, I just feel safe where I don't feel like anyone is going to come in and retaliate against me for speaking the truth. So, and I knew the story had to be told because it was going to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it definitely does. And it also exposes that not only does the healthcare system not take Black people seriously, the banks don't take Black people seriously, and also the judicial system don't take Black people seriously, because TV shows expose that, you know, women were going through pregnancy stuff that they doctors weren't taking them seriously. And, you know, banks don't take us Black people seriously. You know, they will tack on interest just because you're Black. And now you've exposed the judicial system, and it just makes sense to be a Black person in America. It's just it's a struggle out here.
It is. And I've actually been through the healthcare part as well, where like not taken seriously, going through labor, and they're like, nope, you're not in labor. And I'm like, no. And they have to do a rush delivery because I was in labor that entire time. They wouldn't give me any medicine to take care of the pain, because they didn't feel like, because I managed pain well, I wasn't acting as if a woman in full-fledged labor would be like, oh my God, you know, just panicking and stuff. I'm just like, no, I'm having contractions. I'm a very kind of calm person. I can, because everything is about mindset with me. So I don't like to get myself all rattled. So you won't necessarily see me acting crazy because I'm, you know, in labor. So yeah, the lady was like, nope, you're not in labor. She actually told me she thinks I have gas. Like, she was like, probably have. Yeah. So it was pretty sad. And I ended up reporting her to the board. I don't think she kept her job. I've had two situations where this, where I've had to report someone like all the way up the chain.
As you should, because they need to be doing their job seriously, no matter what the color of their skin is. And it's just, it's sad that we're in 2023 and yet we are still sitting here having these conversations about Black people getting treated like crap in America.
It is. It's pretty sad.
And like I said, I don't know what the solution is about that. You know, I don't know what we can do besides move to a different country. I don't know. But Like I said, if y'all got any solutions, y'all let me know in the comments. Cause
please.
I don't know.
Because I'm ready to move to another country.
Hell yeah. What?
Hell yeah. I am. My sister just asked me that the other day. She was like, so is Houston your final stopping point? I was like, I know. I think I'm going to move out the country after the kids are out of school. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah, I don't really want to stay here. So not if it's still what it is. I just have no desire to stay here.
I agree with you. It's like, you know, because some people ask me, do you think Orlando could be the final destination? I'm like, Florida is definitely not the final destination. And Florida is always ending up on the news. No part of Florida is the final destination.
Y'all stay on the news. I be feeling so sorry for Florida. Like, what is going on?
I'm like, you got a governor who cares more about critical race theory than the shit that's actually going on in the state. Crazy. That actually matters. You know, so it's like another, and I'm looking at another country that does look beautiful, you know what I'm saying? Let me find a country that treat Americans well and they're actually relaxed on their laws.
Yeah.
I might just have to go there.
Yep. Absolutely. And some of them are paying us to actually be there. I saved a video on, I forgot the names of the country, but it was like top five countries that's paying you to stay in their country because they're trying to, like either their population is aging, so they have people, you know, dying out or whatever. Or it's usually something like that, like a situation where their population is kind of dwindling away.
Mm. Yeah, well, it'd be a warm weather country that likes black people. I might.
Yeah, it's got to be warm.
Yes, because I'm not doing no cold weather country, you know mm-mm. what I'm saying? I need something warm climate, you feel me? You know,
right.
Because I thought about Canada, but I'm like, Canada gets way too cold.
No.
And all them Canadians be flocking to Florida when it's really cold and stuff.
Yep.
So if y'all got a country y'all want us to go to, y'all let me know in the comments or DMs or wherever you hear this, because it's showing that we need to get the hell out of America.
Yes. Big time.
Big time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. Remember, the more you drink, the better we sound. What is your message to people that is going through things right now and how to overcome those things? Because if you could overcome all of that you went through and still keep going, then it shouldn't be that hard for other people to overcome and keep going.
Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you. It's all about mindset. I'm not going to lie. With me going through the instability and, you know, hotel hopping with my children, I made them look at it as an adventure. When I talked to them, I told them, hey, this, it may not be an ideal situation, but I'm curious to know what your favorite place is that we stayed at. Let's start being like really observing things as if we're hotel critics or Airbnb critics, and thinking, pulling away what our favorite thing is about each one of these places. And we would, after each stay, kind of talk about it and, okay, well, which one is at the top now, and kind of rank them and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk once again. she was telling a good story, but I guess, are you back now?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. So yeah, having them think of, like, we would have a conversation after the fact and say, okay, well, where do you rank this one? And we would do our top fives every time we would check out of one. And so I really would say it's all about mindset. They were very excited to see what the next one we were going to stay in looked like, because it was like, oh, I wonder if this is going to top this one. So really focusing on what you have to be grateful for. I always kind of stayed in that energy of gratitude. Okay, well, it could be this way. At least I have this, you know, at least I have a car. At least just thinking of everything that I have to be grateful for and staying in that flow of things. And so I think that's important for anybody Because when you focus on the negative, that's what you attract. But if you focus on the positive, the good thing is you also attract the positive. So I was attracting, I even had a time where my job just was like, we just want to give you a bonus. I wasn't even due for a bonus. And when I tell you that bonus came right on time for something that I really needed and helped me eat, and they didn't even know it because I was doing my meetings as usual, not complaining. I wasn't saying what I was going through. My manager was aware of what I had going on. And was just, she was also equally impressed that I was able to like show up for work and still like do stuff and everything. But people were just coming up with ways to help me without me even being very vocal about what I had going on. And I think my mindset had a lot to do with that.
Yeah. That's real. Hey, y'all, so we got to work on that mindset. You just got to keep going through no matter what you're going through. It's like every day you got to tell yourself it's going to get better from here. It can only get better, you know what I'm saying? And then you just got to go to your damn job, your 9-to-5 job, whatever job you're working. Like, ain't nothing going on. Like, mm-hmm. like it's nothing because, hey, they notice that shit.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And when you do need a break, when you do need to take some time for yourself, I urge people to take it. I wouldn't say just work yourself into the ground or whatnot, but there were some times I needed to just take a personal day or some time just to be with myself. And I would be vocal about that. Hey, I need a personal day. And that was respected because I put in a lot of hard work already. So, yeah, it's definitely mindset, feeding yourself positivity on a daily basis and knowing that everything is temporary, everything. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to stay in that situation for long. And I get really choked up and emotional about it because I really have come a long way, like throughout life, things that I thought that was going to be like the end or I felt hopeless about. It's like, wow, you made it through that and you made it through that and you made it through that. So those are all also like reminders, all of the things that I've made it through before.
Yeah, that's real. I feel you on that because, mm-hmm. like I said, I know you got choked up over everything you've been through, and I kind of got choked up myself. I'm like, damn, I made it through all this, and mm-hmm. we still standing no matter what. And that's the main thing I tell people, like, even though you're still standing, you ain't dead, just mm-hmm. got to keep it moving. Just got to keep pushing. But let the past be the past. Don't let it dominate you because the past can dominate you if you allow it.
Yeah, absolutely, it can.
But ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. We got a returning guest on. Like I said, you heard her last season on, but we didn't get a chance to get to this part, you know what I'm saying? And I want to thank you for coming back and sharing this because not a lot of people can share their traumas and stuff on a podcast, you know? I'm happy you got to that point where you're willing to share this, and I do appreciate you for doing that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you having me again.
It's no problem. And also, I do appreciate you having me on your podcast, the Entranced Soul Radio. That was a great episode we did. We talked about the 90s R&B love. And you know what? We can do a little part two to that, you know, okay. Right here, you know. And let's talk about it because back in the 90s and stuff, there was no social media and people felt that genuine love. Mm-hmm. But also, you did have the people that want drugs and stuff, you know.
You know, we did.
We had the people that were on drugs, but they were loving the hell out of each other on them drugs.
That's so, true.
Was it the drugs or was it the love?
I think people really loved each other. I think, I don't know. I felt like with minus the social media, people were forced to really connect with each other. You had to get on the phone and have a real conversation. You weren't distracted while you're on the phone texting someone or anything like that. No, you didn't hear someone on a typewriter in the back like, oh, give me a minute, I'm typing a letter while you're on the phone. So yeah, I think the 90s was a good time and something that people admire a lot of because it was true, genuine connections.
Yes, it was definitely a lot of true, genuine connections. And you saw connections that were being built genuinely, not because of what someone had or what someone didn't have. And you saw a lot of those, and a lot of real ones, they met in the 90s, and they're still kicking to this day, you know? So it's like, I know we're going to pick it back on the conversation we had on your podcast, but it's just like, I know I said it's possible to the right person, mm-hmm. but sometimes I think, I'm like, I'm not, where is this right person at, you know?
Right. Because I'm still here digging.
Because I'm like, where is this person at with this mindset? Because I'm like, I know it's out there, but I'm like, where they at, though?
Right. I think the same thing, like even when I'll stumble across somebody and I'm like, okay, this may be, and then they'll show a red flag. I'm like, nope, that's not it. That's not the person.
Yeah. They'll either do something like they'll just stop communicating or stop doing whatever it is. I'm like, oh, so you're only that way because you wanted something. Got it.
Yeah, I've had guys apply a lot of pressure. Like, I'm like, wow, okay, this is exactly what I wanted. And then out of nowhere, just they go completely ghost. So, but it's nothing against me, they say. So, you're an amazing person. That's what they say.
They say that too. You're an amazing person, but yeah, let me run back to my ex. I'm like,
right,
run back to your ex. The ex is there for a reason. It's like the only reason why your ex is getting in touch with you is because I'm here.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is about people in their mindset that makes someone that's taken a little more attractive compared to someone that's single. I don't get that.
All the time. Yeah. That is always the case. Like, oh, okay, this person is trying. Yeah, because even the women, they'll get a lot more crazier and really trying to throw it at their dudes once they see that he's entertaining someone else. And it's like, yeah, I will not fight for another dude at all. Like, I'm just not doing that. I don't plan on fighting over a dude, nor will I ever. Like,
there's almost 8 billion people in this world. Like, you think I'm gonna fight over a woman? Come on now.
That's so crazy.
It is, because I'm like, bro, congratulations. You gotta gotta deal with her when she's going through her things. Now you gotta deal with her. Now you gotta try not to piss off. Congratulations, you gotta deal with that. Not me.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you know what? It's just not worth it. The headache's just not worth it anymore.
It's not. None of my exes I want back. I don't even understand how these people be running back to their exes. But so I'm like, now my exes want me back, but I'm like, no, thank you. That's okay. I'll pass.
Exactly. I probably got exes in different states that probably want me back if I was in the same place. But mm-hmm. I'm like, I remember how you was back then.
Absolutely. That's all you have to do is remember I don't know. I just don't want to visit that. That's not it.
Yeah, that's definitely not it. I don't really feel like you got a lot of that in the 90s. I felt like in the 90s, you got a lot of people trying hard to really go after this person, trying hard to make it work. It felt like people will fight each other to stay with each other. Now it's just seem like people will fight and then just say to hell with you.
Yeah, I feel like now people view others as disposable because you remember what on my show I was saying about how I would be like, oh, how dare you be acting like this with me? And I got all these people in my DMs or whatever. I feel like that's how people think. Like, I'm not even going to sit here and fight for you because I have so many other options to choose from. Instead of choosing the person, like, to me, when you choose a relationship, like, I'm choosing to love you for real, for real. So failure is not an option, all of those things, but people don't look at it that way. They don't care if they fail or not. I can throw this away and pick something new and shiny up and it's okay. And I just think that's the view. But if we viewed it like failure is not an option and I'm going to choose to love this person wholeheartedly. Now, of course, nobody is saying to love somebody through BS, like someone is like treating you like crap and stuff like that. That's totally different. But just really wanting to understand each other and grow, I don't feel like we have that.
Yeah, we definitely don't have that. You know, it's just mm-hmm. not the first argument or the first red flag, people up and go. But
that's it.
I feel like it's only with certain people, because I know certain people, they get 50 million chances to do wrong.
Yeah,
it could be always the wrong ones or the people that aren't toxic, you know, or mm-hmm. that aren't out here going crazy. They get 50 million chances to do wrong. But right. yeah, someone that, you know, and I also learned that that could tell how someone really likes you or not. Because if someone really likes you, they will do everything in their power to keep you around mm-hmm. instead of getting rid of you, instead of, you know, what we run to in this generation.
Right. Exactly. I agree. And I've seen it too, where you can tell by the effort that someone puts into something how much they really care for you, or they vibing with you or like you a lot. Even myself personally, I've given some, now I've thrown everybody away now, but I've given some people chances that really didn't deserve it because I wanted something, like I really liked that person. And it was like, okay, I really like you. So I was taking more excuses than anything. But now, like, you can only keep doing that for so long before. And we hadn't even yeah. like crossed the line of being physical or anything. It was just like, I felt like me and that person connected on another level. And I was curious about where it could go, type of thing. And yeah. so maybe I'll let you slide a little bit if you're not communicating as much as I want. But I'm going to let you know that I want you to communicate more and stuff like that. But you can't keep doing that. As I feel like if somebody really likes you, they're going to do that regardless. I've heard so many excuses, like men saying, oh, well, I'm working on this, I'm working on that. And I'm like, okay, that's a bunch of bullshit, because I got everything going on under the sun. And one of the guys, I think he felt bad, because I was like, dude, you see everything that I was going through that you had no clue that I was going through. Like, and your excuse as a man with no kids is, oh, you're trying to work on getting music out. Like, oh, okay.
And them be the ones right there that get, them yeah. be the ones that right there don't even realize that they get so many chances to make things right, but yeah. yet they fuck up every time. I'm just like, mm-hmm. do you ever look at somebody and just be like disappointed? Like, I gave you so many chances to get it right.
Yeah.
And yet it just blows up in my face.
Yeah. So yeah, never again. I just had to cut that completely off. Like, yeah, let me close this door, because you're not going to actually do right. And I don't want to keep keeping the door cracked where you feel like you can just come and check on me every now and then. Like, no, that's okay.
Nah, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Not when you got people out here that will hit you up every day and be consistent with it as well. So mm-hmm. don't settle for mediocrity. But I find that people in today's generation, they're okay with that, because they yeah. glorify the couples like Krishan and Blueface. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Y'all glorifying that shit.
They do.
And when you see Krishan, what Krishan was up to before Blueface, you're like, damn. What the hell happened?
She was such a pretty girl. Like, you can just see where he just came in and changed her whole being, like how she looked, her energy, everything, her voice is not even the same. I don't know if that's a druggy voice or what. Like, it's so deep and raspy now. That's not how her real voice was. And I guess that's what stress will do to you too, because I'm sure she is stressed all the way out with him. But
yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? And that's why, and I see that, and sometimes I ain't got no sympathy for her, because it's like, I've seen how long you've been with him, and mm-hmm. I'm like, this is the kind of mess you put up with. So you accepted that. It was okay. So you made your bed, you got to lay in it now. So It's like,
yeah,
it's like you had chances to get away from that, but you didn't. You
know? Right.
So obviously, something inside you was okay with that. So.
Uh-huh. It's one of, I think it still goes back to when I was talking to you about that your brain being addicted to toxic mess. Like, it's like she knows she has to leave because she has her epiphany moments where she's like, okay, this is not good. But she lives for, I've seen how she looks, and I've been here before when you're like in a codependent relationship or a toxic relationship. You live for the high moment where when that person is gonna love you again, like how they did it, because that part felt so good. So it's like, okay, if I can just keep on doing this and showing him that I'm in his corner. That's why she got all them tattoos on her, bless her heart. But just look, I got this on my neck of you. See how much I love you, just so he can love her the way that she was loved once by him. So, because he clearly love bombed her in the beginning, and that's what suckered her in. And then now he makes her think that he is the prize and he's the only one. And you see that with the way he puts her down, like, you know, you got tattoos of me all over you. Nobody wants you. You missing a tooth. Nobody wants you. So he keeps doing that even when I think it was a little baby who was trying to holler at her at one point, and he like really went all over media and was talking bad about Krishan, so that trying to discourage little baby from wanting to be with her. So
yeah, it's sad about how people think like that, but today's generation, they think just like that, though. It's just not being publicized on social media, but a lot of people in today's generation, they think like that. They think exactly like that. They think that this toxic love means that they love me. No, that's not the case, you know?
Absolutely. It's sad. It is sad. Even with my own daughter, my oldest daughter is 17, some of her friends and their relationships, I'm like, why are y'all going through this right now? Now, thankfully, not my daughter, but her friends come to me for relationship advice a lot of times. And some of the stuff they're dealing with, I'm like, that's toxic. Why does, no, leave him. What are you talking about?
In school.
These people are crazy. Oh, like, they already are dealing with little narcissists. Like, some of the stories that they're saying, like, people try to do to them and being abusive, like emotionally, talking down on them, trying to make them about themselves. I'm like, yeah, just let that go. What are you doing?
These are babies. I'm like, yeah. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that school has just changed. I'm like, you can tell we've been out of school for some time.
Yeah.
Because that is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, y'all not even thinking about y'all future. Y'all think like this?
Right.
And we would think about colleges and what we trying to do with our lives. And y'all thinking about this?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is crazy. It's beyond crazy.
It's beyond crazy. I'm like, don't babies not understand that they have their whole lives to realize that what's the love? Now, some people find their high school sweethearts more proud than them.
Yeah.
But some
That's
do,
so
but
rare.
It's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
But this mess right here.
Yeah. And that's what I try to tell them. Like, you have your whole life ahead of you. I promise you, what you like now, you won't even like in 5 years. Like, so just focus on you and love yourself, and everything else will fall in place. That's what, at any age, as long as you focus on you and love yourself, everything will always fall in place.
Yeah, because I know for that age, that's supposed to be your selfish years. I remember I was watching Judge Tolan on Divorce Court. She said, I know those years, your 20s, so that's supposed to be your selfish years. And stuff.
I agree.
Those of you, you're finding yourself. But they come to you for love advice? I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I love Judge Tolan. Yeah, she's always speaking facts. But that is supposed to be your selfish years. I agree. And that's why I tell my daughter, like, yeah, you have to just focus on you. You have your whole life to just stress about relationships. So
yeah,
this is not the time.
Yeah, less F. I know if I could go back to being 19, 18, or 19 again and not and just tell myself to have fun, not stress, man.
Yes. Oh my God, I would have done things so differently.
We all say that. And my and what's funny is my aunt told me you're probably gonna say that, and I'm like, God damn, you're right.
Yep, yep.
Everybody says that in the 30s.
I would have because I don't know. I thought that was such a big thing. I think we put ages on everything, like especially for women, we were, oh, I'm going to be married when I'm 25 and I need to have no kids after 30. Like all of my kids need to be born before that. And I'm going to be in a big house by the time I'm 30 and all this stuff. We just had these high hopes and deadlines for ourselves that were really not that realistic. And it was making us like stay attached to a label, to be honest with you. From a very early age, which is, I don't think is healthy. I feel like a lot of women are stressed out. I said, because I've been married before, of course, but I joke about it like, oh yeah, I'm glad I got that out the way because, you know, at least I got it done while I was while I was young and divorced now. And so I was still able to enjoy my life. But it was like, that's not how you're supposed to look at marriage. But that's because I did it so young. I felt like I wouldn't have done that had I known better and I had someone talking to me about the reasons why you get married and making sure you really want to do this and all of this stuff. So it was more about I was like benefiting the other person more than anything, and I cared deeply about that when I was growing up, like being like this positive impact in somebody else's life. But I didn't sit and think about what I gained from the connection.
Yeah, some things you learn you got to be selfish about because it's like if you're benefiting but I'm not benefiting, that it's not gonna work.
Right.
But we both got a benefit here. We both got a benefit from being together. We both got there got to be some benefit for the both of us, not just one person. So that absolutely don't make any sense. But that's a lot though. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. I know if you've reached minute 47, I know you're down with us, you know, keep pouring it up with us, you know, because remember, the more you drink, the better we sound a whole lot better with some liquor, because this is grown folks talking tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're Enchantress, some Enchantress Soul Radio here. Now everybody talks about this table and stuff, right? So what do you think about this table? Everybody says, oh, I am the table. I don't need to bring nothing because I am the table. Or what do you bring to the table? Like, what should a person think they need to bring to the table?
Good question. I don't answer that question. I actually don't remember being asked that. And to me, if a man does have to ask me, what do I bring to the table? He's not paying enough attention to me. So then that's why I don't, because I'm not even going to ask him, what does he bring to the table? That's going to be an opportunity for you to audition and say all the right things that I would want to hear. I'm intelligent enough where I can observe. I can see what type of character you have. And I expect if you're interested in me, that you will be able to see the same. Like, clearly you're talking to me because there's something about me that you see in me. So the need for you to ask the question of what I bring to the table, to me, it's just so goofy. Like, why are you asking? You're interested in me. I don't get why you're asking me that question. Like, what was it about me that brought you to me? So that's always how I look at it. I don't even want to say I'm a little more cocky than I'm the table. I'm everything. So I just feel like that question, that specific question is so beneath me. But I'm trying to think of a time somebody asked me that. I can't think of a time anyone asked me
that. Because sometimes I don't think about that table either, but I know everybody be talking about it like, oh, you need to bring this and bring that to the table. You need to bring this. And I'm just like.
And I guess it's different. I don't know. It's, of course, you have different things that you want people to, like boxes you want them to check off. But I don't know. When I feel like when you bring up the table conversation, it's just so argumentative. Like, it's to me, it screams perform for me, audition for me. Instead of you just observing and seeing, does this person have what you want? And you don't have to ask them that, like, because it's, to me, it's a little bit of an insult. Just observe and use your reasoning and discernment and decide whether or not that's the direction you want to go.
Yes, that's real. Mm-hmm. Y'all got to observe this, because people will tell you through their actions what they bring to the table.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I say that all the time. Even when I think I mentioned this in another podcast episode before, but when men ask me all the time, like, what is it that you're looking for in a man? I never actually straight out tell them what it is I'm looking for. I just tell them I'm looking for authenticity. And they're like, okay, and what else? I'm like, no, that's it. I just want you to be authentic. And then I can move, you know, the way that I need to. We can see if it's a vibe, if it's a match, and move accordingly with your authenticity. If we're both being authentic and true to who we are, we'll find out of whether or not this is going to be something.
That's real. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like people need to get back to that instead of, hey, having these conversations on the podcast and stuff. Yeah. Or if he ain't doing this, or he ain't doing that, or if he ain't spending all this money, then that's the problem with it. That's the problem with why, going back to 90s dating, back in the 90s, you didn't have all this stuff.
You didn't.
You had each other. Mm-hmm. Now, today, you got podcasts, other podcasts telling you, oh, if he ain't doing this, or she ain't doing that, they tell you what the hell to look for. I'm like,
right.
That's not even the case.
And everybody's different. What you may be looking for in a man, you know, one of my girlfriends, she may be looking for something that I think is disgusting in a man. I don't want that. Like, that's not what type of man I want. And that's because we're all unique people. So just to say, like, to sit here and listen, of course you have your core things like respect and things like that, like someone treating you well, but overall, someone can't tell you, oh, you need to leave this person if you're not getting this, 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 and this, because who's to say that's what I want?
Yeah, and them same people, but in the same situation, let it be the right person, they ain't gonna leave that person.
Mm-hmm.
And let it be the right person, because a lot of people will say, a man need to do this, a man need to do that, but yet you live with him, but yet you let this man live with you, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people are hypocrites, and
they are.
I'm just like, y'all crazy.
I've seen
y'all sit here telling us what we need to be doing, but y'all doing something totally different.
Yep, it's so sad.
It really is. And I knew people were hypocrites because I looked at the music industry, like, oh, these rappers telling, like, they rapping all about all this other stuff.
Yeah, and they married. And they,
yes.
I seen, when I was saying that, I was like, wait a minute. I thought that he had all the big booty hoes. He got all.
And so many women fall for Beyonce telling them, oh, single ladies, this, single lady.
Yeah.
You still married the hoes, ain't you?
It's too funny. Like, oh, this is not what they live in. They just, this is entertainment.
It really is. I think that's another thing, like, going back to 90s love, is today is a little more entertainment, whereas back in the 90s, people that made music, they were actually living that, you know?
They were, yes. And I think that's what I liked a lot. Like, the music was love. Like, it was about fighting for your love and romance and, you know, I'll cook this for you. And this, it was just so different. It was a vibe.
It was that vibe that I could tell it's still around, but it's not really publicized. It's not really pushed as hard as the toxic shit is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like everybody's just pushing the toxicness, the you know, the break up with your man, this, to do this, to do that, yeah. You know. They're not pushing that R&B side. I know there are artists out there that talk about that stuff, but the only time they really get to shine is if they make something toxic.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's sad for them, you know what I'm saying? Because, yeah. Hey, you know, for hopeless romantics, you know, we want to hear that stuff.
But... right. Poor us.
Yes, poor us. Do you ever really feel like that you were just born in the wrong generation?
All the time. Sometimes I feel like I'm born on the wrong planet. But I do feel like the wrong generation. I feel like I would have gotten along if I was born earlier. But then sometimes I think of the stuff that they went through, like our grandma age and stuff like that. And then that's more, it's like, do I want to deal with stuff like that? Because they've dealt with their fair share of stuff that wasn't probably ideal. So I don't know. But as far as the love part, yeah, like I do definitely feel like sometimes this wasn't the generation I was supposed to be in.
Yes, I definitely feel like that too, because Black love was so much stronger back then, because it's just we all realize this. We all what we got, but now you got all these other people that glorify the other relationships as well. Even these writers and stuff, they put in Black people in the mixed relationships and stuff. I'm like,
they are. It seemed like that's like the recipe or something.
It really is. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, as soon as I see it, I'm like, okay, I'm about to turn your show off. You know, mm-hmm. I need to see Black love, yeah. Or no love, you know, and I'm unapologetic about it. I'm not racist or nothing, but
right.
You know, I'm still.
But I like to see us. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so sad, you know, so mm-hmm. Because in the 90s, you had them TV couples, you had on every sitcom, you had them TV couples, them strong Black love TV couples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened when it came to the 2000s.
Yeah, and I think that's a part of it too. Television, we are not represented as much in a way like where it's that strong family unit on television. Now one show I do like that shows us, which is a reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, is Bel-Air. I feel like, okay, all right, I see us. They are chocolate people too. They are not just gearing towards light skin or whatever. So I actually like that show, and it's showing us in a light. But of course, it's still a reboot of what we had in the 90s. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. You know, I watched Cobra, so I'm so okay with it. You know, so I'm mm-hmm. happy that we're seeing that, you know. Mm-hmm. And even though it's a show that talked about the 80s, I still watch it. I'm like, okay, shot yeah. Snowfall. Even though it showed the downfall of where Black people went down, you know.
Yeah. But,
you know, you still see some signs of that Black love there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But how can people want it? Because I know what I said on your show. Like, what okay. do you think when you answer that question? Like, what do you think people wanting that 90s love got to do in today's generation?
Whew. I don't know. I would say really be firm on what it is that you want. Like, not be indecisive. Because sometimes we are attracting things that we want or we don't want because we are not firm enough on our standards. Like, say, keep your standards and that's what they are and stay true to those. And then just, and I don't know, like your mindset has to shift to make sure that your actions are in alignment with what it is that you want to, what type of love you want. So I can't be, you know, out here saying, oh, I want love, but then I'm not wanting to date, or I'm doing people bad because of what was done to me before, you know. Just, I feel like just keep putting out that good energy and eventually it's gonna come around. I don't know when. I can't tell you when. Because I sometimes put myself in a little shell and like, oh no, I'm not gonna date right now. Because it's just crazy. Like, But I feel like as long as you are intentional with the way that you date, then eventually that your person is going to come around.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I definitely feel you all the way on that. And also, you got to still be intentional, even if the person you're dating is just, you know, they ain't hitting on nothing. You know, you're not obligated to bring them back. So,
right. Yeah. So, and I think being true to that, like, I've talked about this in previous shows where I say, if you move forward with something, the universe is going to assume that's something that you like. So let's say I know that I need someone to bring a certain things to the table, that infamous table, and they don't have it. And they show me that. And I have a conversation. It's pretty clear. It's my job to stay true to myself and say, you know what? I'm going to have to let this one go, throw it back in the ocean because he doesn't have XYZ. He's already told me he's not willing to have XYZ. So let me go ahead and let it go. And I've had conversations like that before. Hey, I just want to get some clarity. So when you said this, this is what you meant. Are you sure? Okay. Yep, I'm glad you said that and we got clarity on it because this is not going to work out. I think you're a great person, but this is what I'm looking for. And it's not in alignment with what you're trying to bring or what you're willing to do. And that moves that person out of the way, but makes room for what's for you. And the universe is like, okay, I see he know what he's talking about. I see she know what she wants. And staying true to that. But if you just stick it out just because you tired of being lonely type of thing, then those are the type of people you've kind of reset your cycle. And those are the type of people you'll start attracting.
That's real. I appreciate that. And also, I do thank you for coming on, you know what I'm saying? So where can the people find your show and if they want to find you the person?
Yes. So if they want to find me, the person, I am on Instagram and I am on TikTok at Enchantress the Goddess. That's Enchantress the Goddess. And then if you want to find me, find Enchanted Soul Radio, you can find me on Instagram at Enchanted Soul Radio. You also can listen to me on all your favorite streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google, Audible, Amazon, all of those places. I'm there. Make sure you come over and visit me, give me a follow, and let me know what you think about the show.
Thank you for that. And I want to thank you for having me on your show. And also, I want to thank you for making another appearance on Liquor Talk. You know what I'm saying? No, means probably. A lot to me that we spent a lot of time together hammering out these episodes. So I do appreciate it. And remember, I might be in Florida, but I'm just a DM away.
Yes.
I'll come to Houston sooner or later. You know what
I'm okay.
Not, sooner or
later. Let me listen. The food is delicious here. So just let me know. And I'll already have some places that we can go visit.
I got you. It's a bet. I want to thank you to listen for tuning in to Liquor Talk. Remember to keep pouring it up and keep it moving because everything you go through is temporary. Until the next podcast, we out this thing. Deuces, y'all. Deuces.
Bye.